Michael Avery with Classic Business on Classic 1027.
Welcome back to Classic Business on Classic 1027, and time to talk all about Astral, which flew the coop last year with the share doubling on the back of our record maize harvest and obviously declining input costs across the board for poultry producers. But there could be further upside if government chooses to provide even more protection to curb dumping in the local market. Astral is an integrated poultry producer, and by integrated, I mean it plays in the animal feed premixes, manufacturing of animal feeds, broilers, as well as the sale of day-old chick spaces. So it really is vertically integrated. And I've got Andy Croker, MD of the commercial division at Astral in studio. Andy, good to see you.
Good, Michael. Thanks very much, and thanks for having Astral on your show.
Now, the wind still looks to be at your back, it seems. You've got top line growing 15% to 6.7 billion. You've translated that into headline earnings per share growth of a steepling 455% to 19.74 rand, admittedly off a very low base. But this is a record period for you, and you've rewarded shareholders with a chunky 10 rand divvy. Despite all of this, you're growing cash as well, so cash flow generative. Against this backdrop, a very good performance, but perhaps it could become increasingly difficult to persuade government to provide more protection to curb dumping.
Yes, very much so. You know, it is a cyclical industry that we're in, and I think, you know, as most people who observe the industry do. So when you get a couple of stars aligned, you can get this phenomenal performance, and that's what happened in this half. So up on a very low period in our history, which was the comparative period, and that's the big percentage increases in terms of performance improvement. But we have to keep that in mind, I think, when we do that. The concern, yes, is that we definitely saw in the last period a massive impact from imports, and particularly dumping out of the EU. The problem being, obviously, as things turn a bit brighter again, that people take their eye off the ball in terms of trying to rectify that situation. But this profit is not dependent on that. Imports have been flat and very stable if you look at the last 18 months, sitting at around 46,000 tons per month. And that's about 40% of equivalent to 40% of our local production in terms of bird numbers. So that's still a massive amount. It has been stable, which at least allows us to know what we need to do. And there's been a shift as well from the European base because of the avian influenza that hit that market last year to a more Brazil-orientated import program. So that's been in play at the moment. So we would hope they wouldn't. There is a workshop still in place with a number of actions in place to try and improve the situation, but the outcomes still have to happen. We haven't seen much assistance from that side as yet.
When we speak of Brazil, I mean, obviously the Brazilian market is renowned for being highly competitive. They have a very well-developed agricultural base from which to draw from, which keeps their input costs very low. That's part of the story that we're seeing in our local poultry sector, our record maize crop, which has really helped us remain competitive. There are two issues that I want to touch on here. Firstly, what you're going to do with that cash that you're generating, very healthy, just over 900 million rand, to entrench your competitive offering in South Africa. But firstly, I just want to touch on what's happening in Brazil, because we had in March the story of BRF CEO and one of the senior executives there being hauled in for trying to evade food safety regulations over there. And they're the biggest poultry exporter out of Brazil. Should we be worried about what's coming into South Africa from Brazil?
First thing is that Brazil are good chicken farmers. They're good farmers in general. Their cost base is reduced by the fact that they have multiple maize crops in a year, two maize crops, produce a lot of soya, which are the two main ingredients in feed. So they start off a very competitive base, and we've never, you know, never contested that from the South African point of view, that they're able to produce cheap feed, and then secondly, to produce cheap chicken. We're concerned about that, and I think, you know, South Africa's gone through a particularly sensitive period now, and very difficult to have gone through the listeriosis crisis that we have and the loss of life, which cannot be ignored. And quality is important. You know, we get held to a certain standard in South Africa. We're traceable down to the chicken that we produce on shelf, right back to the farm it came off and the feed that we feed, and that's important. It's world standards from that point of view. We do have our concerns sometimes, and particularly now, that the imported product is not necessarily as stringently controlled. And we saw recently that the government stopped testing for listeria, for example, on incoming containers out of Brazil. And I think, yeah, BRF is in a difficult place at the moment. They were caught out. It's not linked. There's no direct link at the moment between the South African issue and there. So we need to state that categorically. But they face challenges and questions about their adherence to quality over there, and that needs to be considered. But they're generally good farmers, produce a cheap product, and the safety standards need to be checked by the country that they come into. We need to have standards in our own country that make sure that the product arrives is the correct product.
Well, I think all we should be asking for is a level playing field at least. So if internal producers are held to a particular standard, that importers are held to that exacting standard as well. Where are we falling down when it comes to maintaining and ensuring that we're checking that standard when the bird lands in South Africa?
I think our ports are busy, especially with this amount of chicken coming in, and that needs to be staffed correctly. I think we saw a good job initially when the listeriosis issue was brought to light in December by the Minister of Health, and there was a lot of reaction to testing that product. It seems to us now that the decision along the lines of chicken being not a ready-to-eat product but a ready-to-cook product, the focus has been less focused over there. And that announcement that they're going to stop testing the harbors, I think, is questionable at this time. And we held to a standard where that's not the case. You know, we've been voluntarily testing for Listeria in our factories for over 10 years already. We have records of that. We maintain that. And we engage with the Department of Agriculture and with DOH in terms of the recent outbreak. So there's maybe a bit of an imbalance, and we need to be careful of that.
That said, we've obviously had our own issues with bird flu, which is highly pathogenic. You mentioned it, the outbreak in the EU, and very curious that they've never had bird flu over in Brazil, Andy. Is that just a coincidence that the world's largest exporter of chickens never catches the flu?
Maybe they've just been very fortunate. the rest of us have been through a very alarming period with bird flu hitting us last year in June. And that's hitting the South African industry, and it's a horrible experience to go through. We've seen it throughout Europe, we've seen it in the US, and it's come down the migratory routes to us. So one would expect that it maybe should have been there from a migratory bird point of view, but there's been no formal representation or any acknowledgement of that out of Brazil, so we have to take it as that.
Coming back to the second part of that question, what are you going to be doing with that cash to now entrench your competitive advantage? As you say, you vertically integrated. You've also got a very small African operation that could be potentially quite lucrative if you crack the nut on some of those other markets where chicken, poultry, is a fantastic source of protein.
So yes, we have an African operation. In the last couple of years, it hasn't been a stellar performance out of there. We took decisions in Mozambique, which was a very difficult market for the past 2 years, to tread water and keep our presence there. Our main presence has always been in Zambia. We're one of the first feed producers there. We also produce day-old chicks. And that market has shown a lot of growth. So in terms of the capital expenditure, part of our program, which I'll get to the total amount soon, is to actually build a new feed mill in Zambia. We've had a mill there for a long period of time, limited capacity. That market has grown substantially over the last 5 years. We haven't necessarily partaken in terms of market share, and we'd like to increase that. And in addition to that, we've got efficiency opportunities as well by moving to the new technology, similar to what we saw with our Standerton feed mill. So there will be capital going into there, into Zambia. But in total, the capital, the cash is on the book. You mentioned the over 900 million. Our intention is to spend 1.3 billion over the next 3 years. It includes the project in Zambia. The second feed project would be our Standerton feed mill. Was always built to handle about 24,000 tons in terms of its storage capacity that feeds into the 40,000 ton production environment. And we've already exceeded that volume. So we're going to align to the 40,000 tons now with additional silo capacity and invest money there. But the largest amount of the investment will go towards expanding our poultry processing capacity. And we're looking at about a 20% growth in bird numbers there, spread through the central region, where we obviously have the Gauteng central north market, growing market. And we'll be increasing our capacity there. And then in addition to that, KwaZulu-Natal, growing economy, one of the three growing economies being the Cape, Natal and central region. We've got operations in all three. We bought a small operation there six years ago, called Mountain Valley. It's a single shift operation until today. And we've always intended to double that up to service the fresh market in Natal, and we will be spending money on getting that done. So together, a combined approximately 1.3 billion over the 3 years, and a 20% increase in the broiler capacity, and a little bit on the feed side to improve our approach to those two feed markets, being Zambia and South Africa. And
that obviously indicates your confidence in the local market to absorb those increases. You're currently at, just over 5 million chicks in the broiler industry. So it must be quite comfortable that the South African market can absorb that readily.
That's correct. So currently just over 5 million, 5.1 million birds a week that we're doing at Astral. We've been at that capacity for a while now. We've squeezed that out by efficiencies and small capex spends and what have you, but you're going to have to take a step up now to give capacity for the future. Those steps in an abattoir are always expensive, and yes, we have to have some confidence to do it. I think we've been conservative in terms of looking at the capital from how that market will grow. But in particular, the markets we've always said we wanted to grow into is the fresh, the quick service restaurant side, and we've always kept our IQF base. But relative to that, we've grown the more margin generative section of the market, being the QSR fresh and value added. And we intend to grow in that area for capacity. So we do see the market being able to absorb additional volumes there. And we have a competitive position, which we build on our whole cost base. You know, Astral's whole view is to be the best cost producer, and that gives us something to leverage off. And if we can continue to grow off that base, it's important in a commodity business to grow, to dilute those expenses through growth as well. So we do believe there's room for that, yes.
Now, obviously, a lot of this is also built around the improving macro situation in South Africa. Consumer demand, we hope, is going to start showing signs of a real return to health. The first quarter's numbers, if you look at some of the mining and manufacturing numbers that have come out recently, are still suffering a bit of a hangover effect from the Zuma decade. And I think perhaps unfairly, some commentators have said, well, it looks like the Ramaphosa has been overblown. You know, businesses don't invest overnight. And the political change has really only taken place over the last 3 months. Are you confident that we're starting to see a much improved macro situation, more strong demand from the consumer going forward?
I think we've got the hope of that. I think it's a bit early to judge the Ramaphosa stage, like you've said. I think the markets need time to catch up to that, and we need to see the growth in the numbers, which we're not physically seeing at this stage. But the opportunity is now there to do that. And I think if the consumer gets stronger, there will be a demand. There has been a big increase in the amount of chicken eaten on a per capita basis, close to 40 kilograms per capita per year. And that's the growth segment. Poultry still offering a fair value product relative to the red meats and the pork of the past. So we do expect to see growth there, and we do expect to see some recovery, but it's early days. I don't think we've seen the green shoots yet, to be honest.
Not counting your chickens before they've hatched. Andy Croker, MD of the Commercial Division at Astral Foods, thanks so much for your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
Well, we've got Vodacom CEO Shamil Jusub waiting on the line, but first, let's cross to Pusiletso for the day's news wrap.